chapter 15 for our thoughts this morning. I like to call the 15th chapter of Luke God's lost and found department, because one lost sheep out of 100, one coin out of 10, one lost prodigal out of 2. So this chapter teaches anything, it teaches us that God loves us and is indeed searching for that which is lost. That was the whole purpose he came into the world. Amen?
Amen.
And all of us here that have been saved were found by him. And we can all identify one of these. But I'm going to speak to you about the elder brother today. It's a subject that you don't really hear a lot, and I think I know why. It's because it hits close to home. Understand, there were some preachers that always had coffee on Monday mornings after services on Sunday, and they would get together and they would study the Bible. And they would talk amongst each other, and just so happened they had studied the 15th chapter, and one of the preachers said, "You know, this elder brother, who is he?" Because it doesn't really just say his name or who he was. But anyways, they started talking back and forth. And this oldest preacher in the group says, "Well, I know who he is." And they were kind of amazed. They said, "Well, you do have a lot more experience in ministry than us. Teach us, who is it?" He goes, "Well, I saw him yesterday." And they said, "What? Well, what's his name?" "It was me." Think about that for a second. It'll hit you in a second. It was me. So, beloved, that's what we're going to look at today. So, is everybody over there in Luke 15? Let's begin with verse 25. "Now, his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he's received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou hast never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hast devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you, and thank you for this time you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the week of revival. Thank you for Brother Randy and Sister Grace. And Lord, I just pray you'll continue to use him in a mighty way to share your word. Lord, give him and Sister Grace souls for their labor. Now, Father, as we're here today to worship you, pray you'll be with me as I stand before the congregation, and give me the words to say that I might present Christ with boldness and authority, your truths, and may your Holy Spirit deal with each heart in your sanctuary this morning. And Lord, if there's one that needs to come, I pray, Lord, they'd have liberty to do so. Father, you've heard the prayer requests spoken, the unspoken requests. We lay them at your throne and just petition that your will be done with each of these as you see fit. Thank you again for allowing me the privilege and honor of being able to share the mighty and holy word of God. For it's in Christ's name I pray this morning. Amen. Please be seated. Bible says that the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And just let me begin by saying, you know the story of the prodigal son, right? Remember, he went out into the far country, and He went to his father and he asked for his inheritance. And the father gave it to him. And now we have the elder son. He's out in the field. But understand, the eldest son is privileged. And what I mean by privilege is, according to the word of God in Deuteronomy, the eldest son in a family was entitled to 2/3 of the father's possession. Not only 2/3, and by the way, it was the younger brother's part was already given to him, he also would take over the family and his business or whatever. So he was privileged. And understand, you and I, as a born-again child of God, our Heavenly Father has also privileged us because we have been given an inheritance. And I want to tell you, this inheritance is far greater than 2/3. It's far greater than a business. It's far greater at being the head of our family. Listen, we are a child of the King. We are royalty. Amen. So understand, here's the elder brother, and he's privileged. And the Bible says he was in the field working. Now, if you look at him at first, you say, well, there's nothing wrong with him. Hey, everything's good in his life. But no, no, no. You see, the elder brother had a problem. And the problem was his heart. You see, even though he appeared that everything was well, and boy, will I get in trouble now. But I'm fired up because I had revival this week. Even though it appeared everything was well, the elder brother, his heart was wrong. And listen to me and listen good. There are people sitting, maybe even in this church this morning, that you appear to be good. You're good, you're moral, you don't drink, you don't cuss, you don't do any of that kind of stuff. You come to church when the doors are open. But listen to me, there's a problem with your heart. And that problem is, you're not saved. Now, I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I want you to understand something. Just because you do this, this, and this, that doesn't mean you're a Christian. Listen, religion has nothing to do with salvation. The Bible tells us we must be born again. Amen? We must be saved. Now, I hear people all the time, well, I go to church. I'm a Christian because I go to church. I'm going to tell you, that's like saying, if I sleep in the garage, I'm a car. If I climb a tree, I'm a squirrel. Listen, understand, just because you go to church, just because you're moral, that don't mean you're saved. In fact, the Bible says this. Jesus said this, so you need to heed what he says. Jesus said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God. You say, well, you're making me doubt my salvation. I don't want you to doubt it. I want you to check and make sure you are saved. The elder brother, appearances, nothing wrong with him. But in his heart, he was lost. And let me throw this in. You know who the elder brother pictures, don't you? Yes, he was lost. He needed Jesus, that's for sure. But you know who he represents? Did you read the first two verses of chapter 15? Represents those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes that thought because they knew the law, thought because it was given to them, that they were all right with God. But they weren't, were they? There's a lot of folks out there think, I'm okay because I do this and I do that. But listen, you can fool me. You can fool all of us. But you're never going to fool the Lord. He knows your heart. Now, the elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh, he heard music and dancing. You say, did they dance back then? They did. David danced. And I would never dance like David naked in front of anybody. That would kind of be scary, wouldn't it? Everybody's going, oh, I don't want that thought in my brain. Now, don't worry. You'll never have to worry about that. Amen. But they were having a party, is basically, and I'll go ahead and say it. When we get to heaven, there's going to be a big party. Amen. Amen. There's going to be a celebration like you've never seen before. But listen, it's all going to be centered around the Lord our King. Amen. Believe me, we're going to be having a good time. Now, he heard this music, and notice, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Well, haven't you heard? I was in the field. No. Your brother's back. The one that went into the far country, he's home, and your father has prepared a fatted calf, and he's celebrating his return. And of course, we truly see the heart of the elder brother, because he gets angry and he doesn't want to go in to the celebration. I told you, sometimes this passage hits close to home. Would it surprise you that there are some folks that don't get joyful over a soul that gets saved in the church? There are some that don't celebrate when God is blessing the church. There are some that don't celebrate because, after all, you bring new members in or the Lord blesses, it takes away spotlight from them, because there's only some that want the pats and the applauds and the accolades for themselves. Amen. Brother, how many years have you seen that? A lot. I've seen it quite a bit. Beloved, it's not about us. It's about the Lord. Now notice what it says. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he's received him safe and sound. Couple things about the elder brother. First of all, the reason he was angry and he wouldn't go in was two things. First thing was, he was angry that his father would spend the money to have a party for this son that had went out into the far country and spent all of his inheritance. You see, that fatted calf, that party, was money that he thought in his head that belonged to him. Okay? But here's the second reason he was mad. And this is the most important reason he was mad. He was angry and wouldn't go in because he was jealous. Why would he be jealous? Because even though he stayed home, he stayed in the field, he was working for his father, even though he did that, his heart was in a far country. You see, he wanted to be where the little brother went. That's why he's jealous. Even though he stayed, it wasn't for obligation. It wasn't because he loved his father. He stayed and couldn't go because he wanted to make sure everything in the business, the family business, was going to be good for him later down the road when his father died. But his heart was out there in the far country. I'll ask you a question this morning. Where's your heart? You see, heart is evil and wicked. Who can know it? That's right. I tell you what. Turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 15, real quick. Listen to what Jesus said. Look at verse 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from where? The heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not the man. There the Lord is dealing with those old Pharisees again. But beloved, the problem all of us have is this old ticker, this heart. Because out of it proceeds all of these gross sins. Amen? Evil thoughts, lust, fornication, all of those things. Now, when Jesus saves you, when you are truly born again, you get a new heart. But listen to me, a person can be born again, be given a new heart, but guess what? They can still have evil thoughts. Fornication, adulteries. You say, well, what do I do then? Well, what does 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the answer, confess and repenting and turning away from. Now, go back to our text. Verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. And therefore came his father out and entreated him. In other words, the father came out to encourage him. Come on in the house. We're having a celebration. Your little brother is home. He was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive. Come on in the house, son. Let's have a party and celebrate his return. And isn't it just like God the Father to entreat us to come in? Get in the boat. Get in the ark of salvation. Come on in. But here is the son. I ain't going. I'm mad. I'm angry. And listen to what he says. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Oh, I'm going to whine, I'm going to cry, I'm going to make you feel how bad I feel. Well, listen to me. You know why he wasn't happy? It's because he wasn't willing to go in. And what did he do? Moaning, groaning, and I'll say this too. Back then in that culture, number one thing you never did, you never got in your father's face, because that's a good way to be taken outside the city and stoned dead right then and right there. You see, he was disrespectful with his father. And you young kids out there, you teenagers, I know you're growing up and you're at that age where you think you know everything. You think that you know more than mom and dad understand. You're going to come to an age one day where you realize your parents are probably some of the smartest people you know. Amen? And you respect your parents. You honor them and you love them. Because if you don't, this old big preacher may be standing over your casket one day. Jesus made it pretty clear in his word. Honor your father and your mother. And by the way, Paul went on to say, so that your days upon the earth may be long. Amen? So here he is in front of those at the party, his servants, the father's servants, and he is giving him the what for? You just didn't do that in those days. But you see, he was angry. He was bitter. And he was mad. I said this hits close to home. How many of us sitting here this morning are angry and we're bitter and we're mad because maybe things aren't going the way you think they ought to go at church? Maybe someone has said something to you or did something to you that you hadn't got over. Beloved, that ain't the way to live. You go to that person, you got out with them, get it straightened out, and go forward. And don't look back. Don't sit there and just let it fester and fester. Because that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants the church to blow up. Surely, if you're a saved, born-again child of God, you don't want to ever see that happen to the Lord's house. So here he is. You never gave me a party for my friends. You never killed the fatted calf for me. You never let us have this music and this dancing. You never did that for me because it's obvious you don't love me like you do him. Y'all ever heard that before? Mom and Daddy just don't love me like they love you. Pastor, you love them more than you love me. Let me tell you something. One, we don't have to question the love of God the Father. We know He loves us. How do I know that? You're here this morning. Two, I love all of you in Christ. And I want you to understand, we love you. Yes, it's true, we might be a little closer to some than others, but as far as love goes, we love you all the same. But we love you. And you never have to doubt the love of God, ever. You see, here was the problem with the elder brother, Ciro. He didn't love his brother, for one. That's what it shows. He didn't love his little brother. He didn't care that he had come out of the far country. Didn't care at all. He didn't love his father. What he loved was what his father was able to give him. What he had coming to him when his father died. But he didn't love and honor his father. That's it. Think about it. Had he loved him, he wouldn't have dishonored him. And that's what he did. I'll ask you this morning, how do you dishonor our Heavenly Father? Come on, it's quiet. We all, in some form or some fashion, dishonor him. God help us, and God forgive us. Notice, but look at verse 30 again. But as soon as this, thy son, didn't even call him father, but as soon as this, thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Well, first of all, I find nowhere in here where he would have known that his little brother had devoured his whole inheritance on harlots, prostitutes. So what is he doing? Well, one, he's judging, but he's just speaking. He's just speaking from the heart what he wanted to do. Amen? Yeah, ouch. He's speaking from his own heart. But again, his heart was just as much in the far country as the prodigal was when he left home. Just as much. And then, did you notice what the father says? But son, speaking of the elder brother, son, it was meet, and that word meet means necessary, that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. It was necessary that we celebrate. And beloved, the Bible says that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. Understand, it was necessary. But yet, the elder brother wasn't going to have any part of it. And that's why I say the elder brother pictures the Sadducees, the scribes, and the Pharisees of that day. Why do I say that? I say it because of this. You see, the Pharisees were given the law. They were given the prophecy that the Messiah would come. And he did come. But they didn't want him as their Messiah. And the Bible tells us eventually they helped the Romans crucify him on a cross. But of course we understand why he went to the cross, don't we? To atone for our sin. He died on the cross to provide redemption for every man, woman, boy, and girl. Now, this passage of chapter 15 ends with verse 32. And again, it's meet necessary that we make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. It does not say anything about, well, did the elder brother ever go in? Doesn't say that. See, it's an open-ended story here. And what that means is Jesus left it that way for a reason. And that reason is this. You and I put the ending to the story. What are you saying? I'm saying this. If the party's going on, you're not saved, then come on in the house. Come on in the house. Maybe you are saved. You're in the house, but you're outside because your heart's not right and you're mad, you're pouting, and you're angry. Get it taken care of and get back to the party. Think about that for a second. That's what this is about. You see, God loves you, sinner friend. I don't care who you are, what you've done. God doesn't care. Listen, he wants you saved. again, you can think you're in the will of God because you carry a Bible, you come through those doors when the doors are open, you pray, you sing in the choir, you preach, you teach. Listen to me, listen good. Those things don't mean you're saved. You've got to be born again. So check your heart. Galatians chapter 5, real quick. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Apostle Paul wrote to the church, Galatians, this is what he said in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But listen, look at what he says. He goes on in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, my question this morning to you is, which heart do you have? Again, FYI, the Lord knows your heart. You may not want to identify with the heart you have, but the Lord knows your heart. Either one or the other. What are you going to do? If you've got any sense, the Lord's dealing with your heart, you'll obey Him and get that fixed. And then go to the party. Don't just listen to all of the good times, all the laughter, all the music and all of that. Don't just listen. Be a part of it. There's a stipulation. You got to obey His voice, and you got to come in His way. So, it's your choice this morning. I can relate. There has been times in my life where I have been the elder brother. How about you? I know I'm saved. Can you say that? If not, we can get it settled this morning.